Little series here about like road marks of discipleship, navigating life as believers in Jesus, conducting ourselves as Jesus would conduct himself. And just as by way of quick reminder, we started with that idea of we receive information, it should go on to imitation. We should imitate somebody's life, like the life of Christ, and then on to innovation after that. And honestly, I was thinking about this on the way here. That's what I'm giving you guys. It's information I've received. Tried to build it into cycle of my life and imitating it like others have done it. But then I innovate on it. I'm giving it to you now differently than what it was given to me, than differently than I've received it. But it's essentially the same idea. And then we talked about up, in, and out, our three-dimensional relationships, upward with God, inward with a closed circle of friends and or family, and then outward in, to engage with the world. And then last week we talked about the three temptations of appetite, ambition, and affirmation or acceptance. So we're also gathering people to maybe launch some other discipleship-type programming throughout the summer. You can text the word follow, because we're just going to follow Christ in this. Follow to 740-227-4838. Well, this week, we're looking at rest and work rhythms. All right, and I love to do this kind of message on Mother's Day because moms like to be busy. In fact, sometimes moms like to brag about how busy they are. Like, I just got to do this, I got to do this a week. Anybody watch Modern Family? When Gloria has a baby, she thrives on now being busy, and she's talking about, I gotta go to the store, I gotta go to all these places. I was like, hey, slow down a little bit, moms. It's okay. We want to give you permission to rest, and it just doesn't go for moms. We got everybody. Now, how many of you remember, like 14 months ago, that life came to a screeching halt? Anybody have a recollection of that? Yeah, everything stopped. Everything was canceled. All the stuff just stopped. School activities, sports, church activities. Everything came to a screeching halt in like one weekend, basically, right? Now, some of you might have lost your jobs for a little while. Like, hey, stay at home. We don't know how this is going to work. Some of you had to go work from home. So there was different ways that worked out. Our kids, and like every child, started doing school from home, at-home schooling, online, however teachers chose to do that or got to do that. Now, I realize there were some people who were essential, right? You guys were essential, medical workers, beer distributors, other people who, had things that you had to get done, your job, you were essential. My daughters developed a little a group text, just Abby, Sarah, and I, we were called the non-essentials because Bethany was at the hospital working away, like many of you others were. Now, in the church, we shut everything down, right? We weren't meeting for a long period of time. Little Arrows Play Cafe shut down. So it appeared like those of us who were pastors, we didn't have anything to do. But we went all online, and so we pre-recorded everything, and what all of my pastor friends learned was it's really, really hard to do that. And we had this huge learning curve of how to shoot video, how to edit. Editing is hard work. We didn't know, and now we know. And it takes hours and hours and hours to do those things. But, hey, we had time because everything else was shut down, wasn't it? So in the course of one weekend, all of our responsibilities just stopped. Right? All of our commitments just went away in the course of a weekend. And I think in about like 2 weeks from that point, we all kind of said, actually, this is kind of nice. Hey, we don't have to be anywhere tonight. We went from like running every night, we got to go somewhere, we got to do something, we got to see people, we got to do this, got to do that, to absolutely nothing. In fact, we were encouraged not to go anywhere. So how many of you enjoyed the slower pace of the early quarantine side of pandemic? How many of you kind of enjoyed that slower pace? Do we have online folks? Are we online? We're not. Oh, goodness. Oh, there's no sound? No video? Oh, bless your heart. Diana, it's Mother's Day. You shouldn't be under all this stress. The person who normally does it's not here today. And Diana, God bless you. I told you afterwards, if something happened, I would give you a hug, not a scolding. So I'll put a mask on. I'll give you a hug. We're not upset. So if you enjoyed, like everybody raised their hand, I think you enjoyed the slower pace of the pandemic, of the quarantine part of it. We were able to slow down. I remember working outside on my deck, I had doing my editing outside on the deck, and like watching birds. I'm like, this is what retired people do. They like watch birds. I remember, you know, like who ever slowed down? It was actually kind of fun. Like, oh my gosh, they're so clever and fun and funny. And like, I named them. No, I didn't. I didn't name them. But like, I've never slowed down to do that before. But now, as things are opening back up, we're having to choose what our priorities should be. What commitments should we get back into? We're figuring out what is good to take on. What commitments do we want to get back involved in again? And honestly, one of those things is church. You know, I'm just going to lay it out there, okay? We're about 60% of our in-person attendance what we were before the pandemic started, okay? But 60% of the people who are coming in general are not people who were with us before the pandemic. Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are on that, raw numbers, but let that settle in a little bit. We've changed significantly. And I think it's for the better. Every church is experiencing that. I don't know any single pastor who would tell you any different, roughly different numbers, although the average is 30% have returned back. Most churches are running 30% of pre-pandemic. So I praise God for be 60%. Anyway, people are deciding what commitments do we want to get back involved in, and we're starting to get busy again. But the question is, do we want to? Do we want to get back to that same pace that we were before? We've said, like a lot of people said, I just want to get back to normal. I don't know if normal was healthy. When we were so busy, busy, busy all the time, doing things. Here's a little thing that I like to say. We're human beings, not human doings. And it's hard for us to slow down and just be. And like a year ago, that's what many of us were able to do. Today's teaching has been enormously helpful for me for finding rhythms of work and rest as I tend to myself keep pretty busy. I like to keep moving. I don't sit well, although I've gotten a lot better at that, or maybe worse now. I just sit all the time. No, I don't sit all the time, but the idea that I want to communicate today is that we need to have rhythms of rest and work. We often say we need to find balance in our life, but that's really not possible. Let's be honest and say there's rhythms. Sometimes they're just going to be busier than others. Lean into it and run with the busy, but take time to swing back to rest. That's kind of what we are going to talk about today, because we're not made to be busy, 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 busy all the time. God did not design us for that. We'll look back to Genesis chapter 1. We were created, humanity was created on the sixth day, and here was just a portion of the command for humanity: be fruitful and multiply. Like, go and do these things, but that's on a being scale. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. So we were made for work. Actually, the list goes on and on. Like, there's tons of stuff that God gives humanity to do. We're made for work and fruitfulness. It's a big task list. And at the end of the passage, God said, it's good. Not only good, he said, it's good, good. It's very good. And then it says, the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But then you turn the chapter, turn to page 2, chapter 2, you turn the page, and you get to day 7. And I think even culturally, we all understand what happened on day 7, right? It's the whole first day for human beings. And what is it that we do? What is it? On day 7, what? Rest. We rest. Here's Genesis chapter 2. Verse 2 through 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God's telling humanity, here's paradise. Now, even in the midst of paradise, you got to work. You know, like I always think, if I would go to vacation in like, I don't know, what's paradise? Bali? What is it? You know what I'm talking about? Bali? Bali? Okay, B-A-L-I? That's what I have in my head anyway. It seems like paradise, you know. Palm trees, beach, white sands, you know, all that. Sounds wonderful. Okay, I go there on vacation, I'm not lifting a finger. I'm not working. But God says, actually, here's paradise. I've given you paradise. You got work to do. You have things to do. But before you do that work, rest. Have an entire day of rest. That's the original design. We work from our rest. Yes, there's this whole list of things we've got to do on day one again, but we're going to rest right now. It's the original design, to work from our rest. But normally we rest from our work, don't we? Don't we rest from our work? We normally think of it that way. We work hard all day so that we can come home and rest in the evening. We work hard all week so that on the weekend we can what? No, do lots of projects. And get things done. Don't we say that? I just got so much I got to get done this weekend. But we're supposed to rest. We work even harder to get our chores done normally, but we ought to rest. Now we work all hard all year long so we can take a 1 week vacation so that we can rest, right? But God didn't really intend for us to do it that way. God didn't mean for us to rest from our work. Instead, God designed us to work from a state of rest. He wants us to be rested human beings. God gave the first human beings huge responsibilities, and then he told them to rest. Just enjoy creation before going on to be productive. God gave the first humans a daily rhythm of rest and work, to start the day with rest and then work throughout the day with energy from our rest. Here's how we know it's supposed to work that way. The conclusion of each day of creation, you know, day one, two, three, four, five, every time that there's a conclusion of the day, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day. Evening, you know, third, fourth, fifth, all the way up to the sixth. Evening and the morning were those days. We would normally go the morning and the evening was a day, right? Don't we? We normally say, I said it earlier, 12 a.m. goes to 11:59 p.m. That's our day. But we start our day in the morning. I woke up around 6 o'clock this morning. That was the start of my day. But really, that's like about midday for the Hebrew culture and the Hebrew understanding. When the sun went down, that's the beginning of resting for the next day. It's the beginning of the day it's the rest period for their work. Does that make sense? So the evening starts the day. The evening and the morning were the day. Now we would probably you probably think it's semantics, and we're never going to change our culture on that. I'm not suggesting that. But what we need to do is have a subtle shift in our mind, that what we do to rest is preparation for our work rather than resting from our work. That's what I'm suggesting. But the next thing we need to determine is what is rest? You know, what does it mean to rest? What might be restful for one person may not be at all restful for another person. So here's how I like to put it. Rest is what gives you energy. Right, do I have the slide for that? Yeah. Rest is whatever gives you energy. Maybe that's taking a nap. You know, there's really nothing sweeter than a Sunday afternoon nap. I don't know if anybody else enjoys that, but I sure do. Maybe taking a nap is restful for you, but maybe going on a bike ride or going to the gym or hanging out with friends, making a craft, build a deck, solve a crossword puzzle, do Sudoku or whatever. You know, like for you, that might give you energy. Read a book, scroll Pinterest, eat a nice meal, make a meal. Whatever gives you energy and enjoyment and gives you life, that's restful for you. All right? So it doesn't have to be just sitting around doing nothing or sleeping or whatever. A couple weeks ago, we looked at how people are wired differently for up, in, and out, especially in and out, like extroverted versus introverted. Those of you who are here, you kind of remember that. For the extrovert, being around people gives them a lot of energy, right? That's kind of restful to be there. I'll be honest with you. Yes, I like my Sunday afternoon nap, but I'm so keyed up after we get done with worship on Sunday morning. Like, I'm just like, whew, yeah, there's people around. I got to see people. All right, yeah, because I'm a little bit extroverted. But that gives me energy. Now, it sucks the life out of an introvert. You know, they're very tired in that situation. So rest for them looks like not being around people so much, right? That's what gives them energy. Probably both need a little bit of each other in order to rest, but to really restore energy, those two personalities kind of need those things to really restore their energy. My friend Paul quoted someone else last week. He said this: work with your brain, rest with your hands. Work with your hands, rest with your brain. Now, I tried to find that quote, who said that, but I couldn't find anybody else who said it on the internet. So, Paul, if you're watching or listening, I'm giving you credit. He's almost a doctor. Next week, he's got his doctorate. I thought it was fascinating. So people who work physical labor jobs or whatever, they'll often rest by doing things with their brain. All right, reading, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, those kinds of things, right? But people who work mentally taxing jobs will often resort to physically tasking rest things, all right? And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, believe it or not, most of my work that I do is with my brain. I know you're like, you're working without tools, Dave, but that's my primary thing. So what I like to do to gain energy is work outside. I like building things. I like working in the garden. Things with my hands. I like to do those things. One of the restful things that I do is tend the garden. And there's periods of time when it's pretty labor intensive. Like, there's a lot to do in the springtime. You got to, you know, clean up all the stuff from the fall and till it. And, you know, there's lots of work to do. But I like to grow lots of different vegetables. One of my favorite things to grow is tomato plants. Now, tomato plants, usually that you want the fruit off the plant, right? Like, that's actually what the idea is. But I never do very well at actually getting fruit. But I do grow huge tomato plants. But I've not mastered the art of actual fruit. Now, this one is not mine. I cannot take credit for this. I bought this for $16 at Wilson's, just for the purpose of today. But one of the things you have to do with a tomato plant is tend it. You know, this guy here, I don't know if you can see, it's tied up with these twisty ties on this pole, but this one needs that too. This guy needs, you know, to bring this up properly. Somebody needs to tend to that. I guess that's going to be my job. I'll do that. This is rest for me, actually. Okay, and so for some other people, it might be rest as well. Have you guys experienced tomatoes before? Are you familiar with the product in the plant? Have you eaten them? You know about tomatoes. Okay, so these things, have you experienced a tomato plant that actually worked really hard, that strived as best as it could to produce fruit? Have you ever seen a tomato plant work hard to produce fruit? Yes or no? Like, that tomato's over there going, you know, like, you know, like, pop, here comes the tomato. That's gross. Sorry. Here's the thing. It just produces naturally so long as it's rooted into the soil, so long that as it's tended properly, so long as it gets enough moisture, but not too much, so long as it gets some light and sunshine, it just naturally produces fruit on its own. That's just the result of it being rooted into the soil. All right, would you agree that that's how tomatoes produce their fruit? Okay. There's no effort involved. It just rests, and it roots in the soil. I tend to it. It bears fruit. Plain and simple. Now, Jesus talks about this idea in John chapter 15. Now, he uses the word vine. I'm going to say, I will use the word vine. But we'll say tomato vine. He would have been talking about grapevines, all right, for grapes and wine, that sort of thing. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Man, that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Like, you mean he's going to cut off everybody who's not bearing fruit? Like, that's a whole lot of people maybe. Whew, that's pretty harsh. But the expectation is that we'll bear fruit. That's the whole point of having the plant. Like, you got to bear fruit. The fruit and the seeds, they multiply the brand of the plant. If you've seen a tomato, you see inside there's seeds. Those seeds would actually be planted in the soil, should grow up another plant, make multiple exponentially greater numbers of plants also. That's the point of bearing fruit. But here's the thing, anything that's not bearing fruit, I got these little snippers here. I'll just, for this, like, there's no fruit there. Snip. Ouch. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? It seems like that's not the way it should be. But I think you can apply this to your own life. You might have parts of your life that simply aren't bearing fruit, but it takes energy to maintain it. It's taking nutrients out of your life, but it's not bearing any fruit. It's not doing anything good for you. Just snip. Yeah, just get rid of it. It's all right. Busy moms, you want to find rest? Sometimes you might need to just cut something out of your calendar that aren't bearing fruit for you. They aren't nurturing your soul. They're just kind of sucking the life out of you. There's no kingdom value in it. Don't burn your energy up in that. Just prune. Prune your calendar a little bit. Said differently, if you need to find some time for rest, cut out the parts of your schedule that aren't bearing fruit and they aren't giving you energy. I'll give you some other hints on that later. Here's what Jesus says. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Well, that's hard too. Why would we prune a branch that's bearing fruit? It's making fruit. Why would we cut that off? And that seems pretty rough too. Well, Jesus gives us the answer. Here's why we do it. He says, so we'll bear much fruit. You can bear even more than what it's already bearing if we just give it a little prune. Now, I looked this up. I've always known these little things about tomatoes. But I'm not good at doing them, so I looked them up on Google to make sure I was telling you right information in case somebody uses this as a gardening lesson. So pruning tomato plants is, I'm going to read it just straight up, is recommended because the resulting new stem is competing for nutrients with the original plant. All right, you have to cut off a stem because it's competing for nutrients with the original stem. Your plant may have more fruit if you let them grow, but the tomatoes will be smaller and the plant will be more cumbersome, requiring a lot of effort to stake as the summer progresses. For instance, this guy right here might have been pruned a while back and it would be easier to maintain. Even though it is bearing fruit, the rest of the plant would bear more fruit if this one wasn't there weighing it down, sucking the life out of it. Pruning tomatoes makes your plants more manageable and more robust at the same time. Pruning also makes it easier to spot pests that are easily camouflaged in the thick canopy of leaves. Have you ever seen those giant tomato worms? Those things are disgusting, but they are kind of fun to squish. Pruning also speeds fruit ripening. So these things will produce fruit, but it'll be smaller fruit. It'll take longer to ripen. The disease is there. It's sucking life out of them. Now, here's. Let me find one here. You guys won't be able to see this very well. Let me turn this around. All right. There's a little leaf right here in the crook of this thing. Are you able to see it? All right. That is what this little article is talking about. This little guy needs to go. And there's a bunch of them. There's one there. There's one starting here. These things are going to eventually rob this plant of nutrients. It might grow some fruit, actually, but it'll keep the rest of the plant from growing much fruit. And so the recommendation is to come in here and just prune that. Take that little guy out, even though probably going to produce fruit, but it won't produce much fruit unless you start removing these little, do you know what they're called? You know what? Suckers. Yeah, they're called suckers. And guess what you are if you don't remove those things? Yeah. Hey, you said it, not me. Look, we need to prune. We need to prune these things out of our lives. It's just sucking the life out of us. It's not. It's just taking nutrients away. It's not producing any fruit. Maybe a little. But you will produce much fruit if you give yourself permission to cut away the things. Maybe it looks like a good thing. Cut away those things, you'll produce much fruit. That's the lesson Jesus is telling us. So do you have things in your busy schedule, in your list of things, the commitments that are starting to come back around, things that are opening up again? Oh, these are things I got to do. I got to do these things. Hey, you know what? Maybe you don't have to. Maybe it's not producing enough fruit or good fruit. You got to cut it out. What if you could bear more fruit or much fruit if you just cut those things out? Perhaps there's things you're doing that you know that other people could do. You could do them just as well as you're doing them, or maybe even better. If you just kind of release that to them, you could produce much fruit. We're actually in a process now within our church, our leadership. We're adding a few more people to our stipend positions to kind of take stuff off of my thing so I can bear some different fruit and go in a different direction. And the people who take on those things, they're going to just bear tons of fruit that I wasn't able to do. It's going to be pruned from me, but put on somebody else. So busy moms out there, there are items on your list or your schedule that you could teach your kids to do so that they can blossom in that area and maybe you could go on and bear more fruit. Husbands and dads, are there ways you can contribute to your household so that there's more people doing more things, there's a better rhythm in your home that takes some stress off of your spouse, off of the mom, off of yourself? You can do things for your kids so that you can provide rest and fruit bearing, and you can all produce more fruit. I just think that it's funny that those are called suckers. This is kind of an analogy. Here's verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, other versions say abide. They use, instead of remain, they use the word abide. Abide in me as I abide in you. And just like the tomato plant, if I cut this off now, those tomatoes are dead. They're gone. It will not bear any more fruit. Other parts of it might do better, but you can't bear any fruit unless you're abiding or remaining in the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So to bear fruit, to be productive, we must just abide, remain. How about rest in the Lord? Then it just comes naturally. It's just fruit that's produced because you've remained in the Lord. Our productivity, our bearing fruit, comes naturally from abiding in, from resting in Jesus, just being connected with Him. But it starts from a place of rest. The list and schedules that we keep, do we include abiding time? Do we include setting aside time just to abide and remain? Where we do nothing but rest, where we do nothing but waste time with the Lord. We use that word for up in and out. Because every minute we waste with the Lord is actually a minute that's invested in bearing fruit. Tomato plant's not out there running around, trying to get everything done so that it can bear fruit. It just does it naturally. It just abides. And the fruit comes when it comes, and it's just a rhythm of life. Now, here's the alternative. It's pretty fierce. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. It's such a waste if we don't abide in the Lord. But, it's a rhythm. I'm just saying, from a practical standpoint, these tomato plants that I plant, by the end of the season, these things just kind of wither and they go. And eventually, I'll cut them down and I'll put them in a pile and I will burn them. I mean, it's just part of what we do. But only when they're done bearing fruit. Or if they're not bearing fruit at all, I'm done. I'm not going to tend them anymore. If you don't remain rooted in the soil, you cannot bear fruit. It's never going to happen. You can work, be busy, do things for the church even, do wonderful things. But it's spinning your wheels. You're not bearing fruit. But he says this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we abide in Jesus, when we remain in his word, and that word is abiding in us and alive in us, look at that promise. Ask for whatever you wish and it will be granted for you. I love that. Ask for it. But here's the thing. When we get to that point where we're truly remaining or abiding or remaining, living in God's word in Jesus, we're going to ask for the things that he wants for us already anyway. We're going to be asking for things that, you want that? Yeah, absolutely. Sure, because that's what I want for you already. The reason why we bear fruit, it's for the glory of God, and it shows that we're disciples of Jesus. We don't bear fruit to show off everything. Oh, look at my bright, shiny red tomato. Yay! No. You don't show off like, look how much I know about the Bible. Look how many things I do. It doesn't work that way. We don't do it for showmanship or for our accomplishments. We bear fruit to show off what God has done. This is what God has done through me or for me or through all of us together. And bearing fruit means multiplication. Like I said, fruit has seeds. And the intention is for us to have more of the same plant, more of the same vine. So here's the only thing you can do to make sure that you're bearing fruit. Fruit simply comes from abiding. And abiding can only happen when you're resting in the Lord. And the only way to do that is to control your calendar. Now, I've got this little thing. It's on your tables there. There's a sheet. Here's like the little tool for the week. Think about a pendulum that swings back and forth. It's a really kind of poor attempt. Do you see motion? Okay, this is a pendulum swinging back and forth. In our lives, we do this rhythmically. Okay, rhythmically, rest and work, rest and work. We can't stay all the way over here and work all the time. We must swing back from time to time over to rest. There's other words that I like to associate with rest. It's just abiding. It's a word from the scripture. Being, relationships, inviting, having a covenant together. And then over here on the work side, fruitfulness, doing, responsibility, challenge, kingdom. But here's the thing. Sometimes to get over to the rest side, we got to prune. We just got to cut some things out sometimes. And here's the way you can do that. Or a way. Just a way. To control your calendar and so that your calendar doesn't control you, you can make time to swing over to resting and abiding. Let's go to the next slide. Look at your calendar. And look at all the things that you do. I put on that sheet. It's helpful to write down your weekly schedule. Like every day, here's what I do on Sundays. Here's what I do Monday, Tuesday, all week long. In general, these are the things I do. And you look at the things. What are the things I have to maintain? Like I've got to do these things because if I don't, I'm going to get fired. My job depends on me to do these things. You can't cut that, right? That's yours. You have to do that. Those are things that you must do. But you have other things in your schedule, you'll see, that you can maximize. These are things that you can do intentionally. All right, yeah, I got to do this, but if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it in a position where it's going to bear some fruit. My primary example of this, when I first learned this, my kids were little, but I did a lot of the getting around for the day stuff. Bethany went off to work, and I was trying to get them to school. I noticed that our getting around for school times were not pleasant. Anybody else? Yeah, it's like, this is not a happy time. Now, we're not yellers in our family, so it wasn't like, you know, we were yelling, but I decided I'm going to maximize this time to do it more intentionally, play some calming music, ask probing questions that were more loving rather than, what do you think you're doing? You know, like things like that. I said, put your shoes on. You know, like it's not, that wasn't helpful. So I maximized that time so we had a more loving, the kids are in the room and they probably didn't know that happened, but that's the point. That was the point. Like, let me do this in a way that will actually build Jesus into them rather than drive. It was hellish at times, you know? So I worked on that. All right, what's next? Marginalize. Here's the things you can prune and cut. These are things that, hey, I don't have to do all of these things. I could actually teach my kids to do them. They're doing laundry and dishes a fair bit now. You know, that takes, that now I have more time. Maybe in your work, there's things that you're doing you don't have to do that you can cut, prune, so that you can be more fruitful, all right? So there's things in your calendar that you don't have to do, and life will go on. We know this because last year everything got cut. So now you're in a position to start choosing which ones you will add back in. What things will you not add back in? All right, and then the last thing is, but what things are you called to do that you're not doing right now that you can move into? Man, God's been leading me. I just need to get into this, fill in the blank. But I don't have time because I have all these other things going on. Well, cut something so you can move into the thing that God is calling you to do. You'll never have time unless you make it. All right? So maintain, maximize, marginalize, move into. I think it's a great discipline to get into. You can use those sheets. The intention of those sheets every week is so that you can just do it. You can practice that. You can go through it maybe for your weekly devotions or whatever. I think it's helpful to physically write them down, to actually, like, here's what I do, here's what I can cut, here's what I have to do, here's what I can maximize, and it kind of keeps you accountable that way. I think there's one more little thing I need to say about this, and it's just because as the pandemic has ended, where are you in terms of what you're stepping or moving into in terms of your faith? You know, like, I hesitate to say this because you're all here. You know, this is for the people who aren't here. You know, where are you, guys? You know, like, God's calling you. Don't give up on your faith. Don't get too lazy. We got complacent for a while, some of us. It's time. It's time to move into and take a step in our faith. Some of us need to practice our rest and our practice our being. Some of us need to get started doing. All of us need to put ourselves in a position where we can be tended, where our fruit can start to grow just naturally from a state of being with Jesus Christ. And I'll leave it with that, because our intention is to just be, you know, not give guilt, but now permission to be, to rest, to take time to abide in the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for the permission to rest and the ability to take time and kind of prune our calendars a little bit. We ask that you make it so we don't feel guilty about it when we do things that it's like some things that may be bear a little bit of fruit we might need to say no to. But help us to be able to just do that with confidence and knowing that you called us to do this so we can move into something greater so that we can bear much fruit. We want to be people who bear much fruit, but we don't want to just be busy. We don't want to have just activities going on that are just activities without any intentionality. May everything we do come from a state of being with you so that we can bear fruit in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.